This is Real Estate Commissioner Chica Sundquist, and welcome to First Home California.
From the California Department of Real Estate here in Sacramento, you're listening to First Home California, a podcast designed to help you be as informed as possible as it relates to real estate matters. I'm Brody Fernandez with the Communications Division here at DRE, and thank you for listening. From these episodes, we hope you gain insight to help you get to a place where you know what to expect during the home buying process, to recognize possible red flags during this process, questions you should ask, and to help you make informed decisions about a very important purchase in your life, your home. Be sure to hit follow on whatever app you're listening to us on so that you will never miss an episode. In this week's episode, Dishonest Dealings, we take you through the story of how one licensed broker living in Southern California defrauded hundreds of people by collecting what's known as earnest money deposits from prospective homebuyers, which should have been held in trust. This broker, in turn, converted those funds from the deposits for her own personal use. We are about to walk you through some of the most underhanded details and findings of this case that helped bring a stop to the matter and a stop to the criminal. Our guest for today's episode is Department of Real Estate Enforcement Supervising Special Investigator Veronica Kilpatrick. Veronica has served as a supervising investigator with DRE for 14 years. She will answer some important case questions for us and provide us with all the tips for navigating the real estate world as a consumer. Veronica, welcome to First Home California. We're thrilled to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so let's begin. This is a very sinister story involving deception, theft, and truly calculated wrongdoings time after time. Laura Cristina Preciado, a once licensed broker in California, became a nightmare for many unsuspecting homebuyers and clients throughout the entire state. It was about a two-year span, from what I gather, starting in January of 2016 through January of 2018, where Preciado would collect earnest money deposits from trusting homebuyers on properties she really had no business listing in the first place. Now, based on DRE's case records, Preciado would find homes online, homes that were not truly for sale at all, and she would create fraudulent property listings for those homes, posing as the listing agent for those homes. Veronica, can you take us through some of the details on this case and essentially where it began?
Sure. What the department found was that Preciado listed properties for sale on the multiple listing service, commonly known as the MLS, and claimed she was the listing agent. But these properties were not for sale. She would scheme prospective home buyers into thinking that it was a true property for sale. We have testimony from the investigator and some victims detailing that supposed sellers or owners of these listings were contacted, and they noted they had not listed the properties for sale and were unaware that Preciado had solicited and received offers for the sale of their homes. One owner of a property listed by Preciado even informed the department that he had not listed his home, but he had been contacted by buyers who had submitted an earnest money deposit to Preciado.
Wow, that's pretty incredible that this was happening during all of this, and even more so across a two-year span.
Yes, and to take this scheme further, she even went as far as accepting multiple offers and multiple earnest money deposits from interested buyers on a single property. We found that on some of these listings, she would even fabricate, basically lie, and say that these properties were a short sale, which for those of you who might not know, a short sale can take months to close. She did this to intentionally delay the amount of time before the prospective home buyers realized there was something wrong with the transaction. The Department of Real Estate's findings also uncovered that on multiple occasions, Preciado would provide prospective buyers various excuses for not allowing interior inspections of the properties, including alleged tenants that were not cooperating or were facing eviction. Basically, people were providing her with a deposit to blindly secure the home purchase without seeing the inside of the property.
So, Veronica, we know there's two ways criminals like this become under the microscope, if you will, of the department's enforcement team. One, there's a standard routine audit, and two, complaints that come in from the public. Which one was it for this case?
Of course, we got wind of this case from multiple complaints made against Preciado. Specifically, home buyers claiming Preciado would not repay their earnest money deposit back. or EMD as we call it. And for property owners who have been contacted by buyers or buyer's agents about the status of a sale for a property that they had not listed and was not for sale. As a result of these complaints, and in addition to those investigations, the department performed several audits in December of 2018 on Preciado. The Department of Real Estate first found in its audits that Preciado family members and friends were acting as her employees, agents, and associates. These people would help her carry out the misleading work happening, perhaps orchestrated by Preciado. The case found multiple payments to several family members and friends.
So these complaints that came in, Veronica, about not refunding deposits, tell us a little bit more about that. I imagine these people were pretty upset, to put it lightly, when they found out about this.
Yes, many of these people she collected an EMD from, they got tired of waiting and waiting. Nothing was happening with their home buying process. Some requested refunds and some just canceled the sale. Our findings show that Preciado did issue EMD refunds to earlier buyers, basically using the EMDs she collected from new buyers who made offers on other properties. We found a lot of false promises, omissions, misrepresentations to prospective home buyers in this case. In some transactions, the department also found that she claimed to represent both the seller and the buyer.
So, Veronica, back to the subject of public complaints. Can you tell us how someone from the public, perhaps someone who experiences false promises or purposeful misrepresentation throughout the home buying process, how they can go about submitting a complaint against a California salesperson, broker, or any DRE licensee for that matter?
Absolutely. Consumers can file a complaint against a DRE licensee online at DRE's website at www.dre.ca.gov. They can download a complaint form from the same website and email it to the address on the form. They could call DRE at 877-373-4542. The department can even mail them the form upon a request. We have several ways. We are here to protect the consumers and we encourage the public to use DRE's File a Complaint service as a tool for them.
Okay, well, great information. Thank you, Veronica. What other advice or tips can you share with us in regards to how someone buying a home can really protect themselves in real estate transactions, especially in situations like the one we're discussing now?
Well, first and foremost, when buying or selling your property, buyers and sellers should always look up the agents and brokers involved in a transaction. We advise them to go to the DRE website, use the Verify a License tool, and also do a general online search. You can see if there has been any prior discipline against a licensee. Perhaps they have been reprimanded before. You can also confirm that they are truly a licensed salesperson. There are instances where we have seen people representing themselves as a salesperson, but they do not have a license. It is always a good practice to just take a look at their license history via our Verify License tool.
Gotcha. Okay, great advice. Research and confirm the salesperson's license. So, thinking about this case, what other insight comes to mind that would help expand listeners' awareness around the home buying process? What questions should they be asking during this process?
Well, if you're trying to purchase a property that has tenants living in the property and have been advised not to contact them, you may want to do the following. First, once an offer has been accepted, you do have the right to inspect the property. Two, ask for estoppels, lease or rental agreements, and rent rolls. Three, ask if the tenants will remain on the property or if the property will be vacant at the close of escrow. And four, if the property is going to be vacant, ask for proof of eviction notices. If you're purchasing a short sale or foreclosure property, a few things to do are the following. First, verify that the property is actually a short sale or foreclosure property. You could do that by checking with the county register or recorder. A notice of default or a notice of trustee sale should have been recorded by the lender. Two, view and inspect the property. And three, ask for documentation proving that the lender is actually negotiating a short sale. If you have questions regarding the property or any disclosures and documents, that you received during the transaction, please make sure you ask clarifying questions, request additional inspections, and go to the city to review permits and/or documents. Consumers should always read all documents fully before signing them. Do not sign any documents with blank spaces. And always request that the documents be completed fully with no questions or sections left unaddressed.
Okay, great. Thank you for all of those tips, Veronica. Again, that's great information for our consumers and our listeners. So let's get back to this case. Anything else uncovered? What other violations of real estate law did the department come across?
Well, another important part of the audit found that Preciado at one point opened 10 different bank accounts for her fraudulent broker activities. These accounts were opened at different times and for different reasons. At some point, though, she deposited money or transferred money into each of these 10 accounts. By law, these funds, the funds collected from the prospective home buyers, were required to be held in trust. Each account was analyzed by the Department of Real Estate Auditor as a trust account. When she deposited or transferred personal funds into any of these accounts or paid personal expenses from any of these accounts, she commingled trust funds with her personal accounts, which is absolutely illegal and violates California real estate law.
Okay, so interesting flag there. Thank you for underscoring that. Now, can you give us a high-level view of the impact Preciado had on consumers as a whole, and what consequences did she face as a result?
Well, at the end of it all, Preciado collected more than $1 million in deposits from at least 158 buyers for the purchase of at least 23 different properties, all of which she had no business or affiliation with. Now, that's just in the span of the 2 years she was under review. It is possible there was more fraud and theft committed prior to 2016. After DRE completed its investigation, the department revoked Preciado's license. The case was also referred to the Orange County District Attorney's Office, who prosecuted her criminally. Preciado pled guilty to 6 counts of grand theft with enhancement of aggravated white-collar crime for over $100,000, and also an enhancement for a secondary offense which occurred while she was released on bond. Preciado was sentenced to 364 days in jail. She was ordered to pay restitution and was placed on formal probation for 10 years. Her formal probation is scheduled to end in 2031.
My goodness, that is quite the litany of consequences when we look at this case. Interesting. So, before we wrap up here, any other advice or reminders for listeners tuning in to this specific case?
Yes, buyers should always be mindful or wary of making earnest money deposits or any other deposits without first viewing the property and doing research on the property.
So, can you tell us a little bit more about what a broker-controlled escrow is? What should the everyday consumer know or be aware of in order to best protect themselves?
Well, escrow is a neutral third party who receives and disburses funds and gets grand deeds in a purchase transaction. Escrows are handled by entities licensed by the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation, DFPI, by the Department of Insurance, DOI, and in very specific cases by the Department of Real Estate. Real estate brokers may only conduct escrows if they're representing the buyer or the seller in a transaction. Brokers are required to disclose to buyers and sellers if a transaction will be handled by a broker-controlled escrow, as the broker will be handling the trust funds. Brokers are required to have a trust fund account. Buyers and sellers should ask whether or not an escrow is affiliated with the broker. They should also verify that it is licensed with either the DRE, DFPI, or DOI. Buyers and sellers should compare the fees of independent escrow to those of broker-controlled escrow. They should also ensure the escrow account that will be used in the transaction is designated as a trust fund account.
Okay, great. Thank you again, Veronica, for that clarification. It's all great information. One final item I'm hoping you can tell us about is the department's consumer recovery accounts. What is that, and how does it help people?
The consumer recovery account is basically a victim's fund that is administered by the DRE. It is funded from a portion of the fees paid by a licensee. It enables a person who has been defrauded or had trust funds converted by a real estate licensee in a transaction requiring a license and who satisfy specific requirements to recover at least some of their actual loss when the licensee has insufficient funds to pay for that loss. The victims must submit an application for payment to the DRE within a year after a judgment, an award, or an order becomes final. Details on this account or how a victim of real estate fraud can apply are available at www.dre.ca.gov and search for consumer recovery account.
Veronica, thank you so much for walking us through this case and shedding light on all of these tips and resources for consumers and our licensees. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
To all of you listening, we appreciate you and we hope you took away some insightful information that will help you through the home buying process. Be sure to hit follow on whatever app you're listening to us on so that you will never miss an episode. From California's capital city here in Sacramento, again, thank you for listening to First Home California. Stay tuned for our next episode, another insightful discussion around a past Department of Real Estate's enforcement case, along with consumer tips and resources. First Home California is the Department of Real Estate's flagship podcast. I am your host, Brody Fernandez. Until next time, take care.